Welcome to the Seek Him Early podcast, featuring daily devotional studies on knowing, loving, and serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Each weekly program is from the book of that same title. I'm Pastor Watson, author of the book, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Meeker, Colorado, and director of Sola Scriptura Publications. This episode is titled The Law Concerning Purity, and is based on Exodus 20, verse 14, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Throughout the Middle Ages, sexual love, even between spouses, was considered gross evil by the Roman Catholic Church, which then glorified celibacy. Eventually, in fact, it prohibited such activity on certain holy days, ultimately totaling half the year. Thank God again for the Reformation. The Reformers and the Puritans recognized that marriage is honorable in all things and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. The second half of that verse, however, goes on to declare, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. First, then, we examine the Old Testament commandment. It is significant indeed that right on the heels of the commandment that declares the sanctity of life is another that affirms the sacredness of marriage. Why? Because marriage is at the very foundation of the home and society itself, and nothing attacks marriage with more violence and wreaks more devastation than does adultery. That is precisely why it merited the death penalty under the Mosaic Law, Leviticus 20, verse 10. For one thing, adultery debases the adulterer, making him a senseless animal who cannot control his urges, Jeremiah 5:8. It also destroys one's reputation, for his reproach shall not be wiped away, Proverbs 6:32 and 33. It then, thirdly, devastates the marriage bond. Since marriage is a covenant of companionship, Malachi 2:14, sex within marriage is, as one writer has put it so well, the covenant cement that helps hold the marriage structure secure. This is one reason, in fact, why sex within marriage is required, 1 Corinthians 7:3 and 5. Adultery, then, destroys all of that. Finally, adultery dishonors God, who created this union. We must always honor God with our bodies, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20. Secondly, we see the New Testament counterpart. As with the sixth commandment, this one is not only reinforced in the New Testament, Romans 13:9 and 10, 1 Corinthians 6:9, Hebrews 13:4 and James 2:11, but also is enhanced. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus again cited the commandment, but then added, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart," Matthew 5:27 and 28. As one writer has put it, quote, "To lust is to look and to imagine the sexual possibilities," unquote. In other words, if I may put it this way, to lust does not mean to look. Rather, it means to linger. Third, we see the combined confrontation. We hardly need even mention the sex-saturated society we live in. This is a given. But we certainly need to face the reality that it has invaded the church. Christian leaders have been caught in adultery and pornography addiction. Evangelicals are divided over the issues of homosexuality and even same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage. Many Christians see no problem with couples living together outside of marriage and even make excuses for those caught in adultery and other sexual sin. So it is, then, the seventh commandment requireth the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior, and forbids all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions, as is so well put in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. If you would like to go a little deeper on your own, here are some scriptures for study. What is the price of sexual sin in the following verses? Proverbs 6:25 through 27, 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, and James 1:14 and 15. Our next episode is The Law Concerning Property, and is based on Exodus 20:15, "Thou shalt not steal." May God richly bless you, my dear Christian friend. I pray that you will continue each day to seek Him early.